welcome to your country, dear Antonio. You have been long in France, and you return a very formal Frenchman in your habit. How do you like the French court?
I admire it, Delio. In seeking to reduce both state and people to a fixed order, their judicious king begins at home. Quits first his royal palace of flattering sycophants, of dissolute and infamous persons, which he sweetly terms his master's masterpiece, the work of heaven, considering duly that a prince's court is like a common fountain, whence should flow pure silver drops in general. But if chance some cursed example poisoned near the head, death and diseases through the whole land spread. And what is makes this blessed government but a most provident council, who dare freely inform him the corruption of the times? Though some of the court hold it presumption to instruct princes what they ought to do, it is a noble duty to inform them what they ought to foresee. Here comes Beausoleil, the only court Gaul. Yet I observe his railing is not for simple love of piety. Indeed, he rails at those things which he wants, would be as lecherous, covetous, or proud, bloody, or envious as any man, if he had means to be so. And here's the cardinal.
Done you better service than to be slighted thus? Miserable age, where only the reward of doing well is the doing of it.
You enforce your merit too much.
I fell into the galleys in your service, where for 2 years together I wore 2 towels instead of a shirt with a knot on the shoulder after the fashion of a Roman mantle. Slighted thus, I will thrive some way. Blackbirds fatten best in hard weather. Why not I in these dog days?
Would you could become honest.
With all your divinity, do but direct me the way to it. I've known many travel far for it, and yet return as arrant knaves as they went forth, because they carried themselves always along with them.
Are you gone? Some fellows, they say, are possessed with the devil. But this great fellow were able to possess the greatest devil and make him worse.
He hath denied thee some suit.
He and his brother are like plum trees that grow crooked over standing pools. They're rich and are laden with fruit, but none but crows, pies, and caterpillars feed on them. Could I be one of their flattering panders, I would hang on their ears like a horse leech till I were full and then drop off. I pray, leave me. Who would rely upon these miserable dependencies in expectation to be advanced tomorrow? What creature ever fed worse than hoping Tantalus, nor died any man more fearfully than he that hoped for a pardon? There are rewards for hawks and dogs when they've done a service, but for a soldier that hazards his limbs in a battle, nothing but a kind of geometry is his last supportation.
Geometry?
Aye, to hang in a fair pair of slings. Take his latter swing in the world upon an honorable pair of crutches from hospital to hospital. Farewell, sir. And yet do not you scorn us, for places in the court are but like beds in the hospital, where this man's head lies at that man's foot, and so lower and lower. Farewell.
I knew this fellow 7 years in the galleys for a notorious murder, and forsought the cardinal suborned it.
'Tis great pity he should be thus neglected. I have heard he's very valiant. This foul melancholy will poison all his goodness. For I'll tell you, if too immoderate sleep be truly said to be an inward rust unto the soul, it then doth follow want of action breeds all black malcontents, and their close rearing like moths in a cloth do hurt for want of wearing.
The present skins to fill. You promised me to make me the partaker of the natures of some of your great courtiers.
Ah, the Lord Cardinals and other strangers that are now in court. I shall. Here comes the great Calabrian Duke.
Antonio Bologna, my lord.
Our sister Duchess, great master of our household. Give him the jewel. Ah, Antonio. You are a good horseman. You have excellent riders in France. What think you of good horsemanship?
Nobly, my lord. As out of the Grecian horse issued many famous princes, so out of brave horsemanship arise the first sparks of growing resolution that raise the mind to noble action.
You have bespoke it worthily.
Your brother, the Lord Cardinal, and sister Duchess. Gaddis, come about.
They are, my lord.
Here's the Lord Silvio is come to take his leave.
Now, sir, your promise. What's that cardinal? Mm-hmm. I mean his temper. They say he's a brave fellow. Will play his 5,000 crowns at tennis, dance, court ladies, and one that have fought single combats.
Some such flashes superficially hang on him for form. But observe his inward character. He is a melancholy churchman. The spring in his face is nothing but the engendering of toads. Where he is jealous of any man, he lays worse plots for them than ever was imposed on Hercules, for he strews in his way flatterers, panders, intelligences, atheists, and a thousand such political monsters. He should have been pope, but instead of coming to it by the primitive decency of the church, he did bestow bribes so largely and so impudently as if he would have carried it away without heaven's knowledge. Some good he hath done.
You have given too much of him. What's his brother?
The Duke there, a most perverse and turbulent nature. What appears in him mirth is merely outside. If he laugh heartily, it is to laugh all honesty out of fashion.
Twins?
In quality. He speaks with others' tongues, and hears men's suits with others' ears. Will seem to sleep on the bench, only to entrap offenders in their answers. Dooms men to death by information. Rewards by hearsay.
Then the law to him is like a foul black cobweb to a spider. He makes it his dwelling and a prison to entangle those shall feed him.
Most true. He never pays debts, unless they be shrewd turns, and those he will confess that he doth owe. Last, for his brother there, the cardinal, they that do flatter him most say oracles hang at his lips. And verily I believe them, for the devil speaks in them. But for their sister, the right noble duchess, you never fix your eye on three fair medals cast in one figure of so different temper. For her discourse, it is so full of rapture, you only will begin and to be sorry when she doth end her speech, and wish in wonder she held it less vainglory to talk much than your penance to hear her. Whilst she speaks, she throws upon a man so sweet a look that it were able to raise one to a galliard that lay dead in a palsy, and to dote on that sweet countenance. But in that look there speaketh so divine a continence as cuts off all lascivious and vain hope. Her days are practiced in such noble virtue that sure her nights, nay more, her very sleeps, are more in heaven than other ladies' shrifts. Let all sweet ladies break their flattering glasses, and dress themselves in her.
Fie, Antonio. You play the wire draw with her commendations.
I'll case the picture up. Only thus much. All her particular worth grows to this sum. She stains the time past, lights the time to come.
Antonio.
Cariola.
You must attend my lady duchess in the gallery some half an hour hence.
I shall.
Come, Delio.
I follow you.
Sister. I have a suit to you.
To me, sir?
A gentleman here, Daniel de Beausola, one that was in the galleys.
Yes, I know him.
A worthy fellow he is. Pray let me entreat for the provisorship of your horse.
Your knowledge of him commends him and prefers him.
Call Beausola hither.
I shall, my lord.
We now are upon party. Good Lord Silvio, do us commend to all our noble friends at the Liga.
Sir, I shall.
You are for Milan?
I am.
Bring the carroches.
Presently, madam.
We'll bring you down to the harbour.
Madam.
Come, sir.
Brother, be sure you entertain that Borsala for your intelligence. I would not be seen in it, and therefore many times I have slighted him when he did court our furtherance, as this morning.
Antonio, the great master of our household, had been far fitter.
You are deceived in him. His nature is too honest for such business. he comes. I leave.
I was lured to you.
My brother here, the cardinal, could never abide you.
Never since he was in my debt.
Maybe some oblique character in your face made him suspect you.
Does he study physiognomy? There's no more credit to be given to the face than to a sick man's urine, which some call the physician's whore because she cousins him. He did suspect me wrongfully.
For that you must give great men leave to take their times. Distrust the causer seldom be deceived. You see the oft shaking of the cedar tree fastens it more at root.
Yet take heed, for to suspect a friend unworthily instructs him the next way to suspect you and prompts him to deceive you.
There's gold.
So, what followed? Never rained such showers as these without thunderbolts in the tail of them. Whose throat must I cut?
Your inclination to shed blood rides post before my occasion to use you. I give you that to live in the court here and observe the Duchess. To note all the particulars of her behavior, what suitors do solicit her for marriage and whom she best affects. She's a young widow. I would not have her marry again.
No, sir.
Do not you ask the reason, but be satisfied I say I would not.
It seems you would create me one of your familiar.
Familiar? What's that?
Why, a very quaint invisible devil in flesh. An intelligence, sir.
Such a kind of thriving thing I would wish thee. And ere long thou mayst arrive at a higher place by it.
Take your devils, which hell calls angels. These cursed gifts will make you a corrupter, me an impudent traitor. Should I take these, they take me to hell.
Sir, I'll take nothing from you that I have given. There's a place that I procured for you this morning, the provisorship of the horse. Have you heard on't?
No.
It is yours. It's not worth thanks.
I would have you curse yourself now that your bounty, which makes men truly noble, e'er should make me a villain. Oh, to avoid ingratitude for the good deed you've done me, I must do all the ill man can invent. Thus the devil canned his all sins o'er. And what heaven terms vile, that names he complimental.
Be yourself. Keep your old garb of melancholy. Will express you envy those that stand above your reach, yet strive not to come near them. This will gain access to private lodgings, where yourself may, like a politic dormouse...
As I've seen some, feed in a lord's dish half asleep, not seeming to listen to any talk, and yet these rogues have cut his throat in a dream. What's my place? The provisorship of the horse. Say then, my corruption grew out of horse dung. I am your creature.
Away!
Let good men for good deeds covet good fame, since place and riches oft are bribes of shame. Sometimes the devil doth preach.
Sister, we are to part from you, and your own discretion must now be your director.
You are a widow. You know already what man is, and therefore let not youth, high promotion, eloquence...
No, nor anything without the additional honor, sway your high blood.
Marry, they are most luxurious, will wait twice.
Oh, fine.
Their livers are more spotted than Laban's sheep.
Diamonds are of most value, they say, that have passed through most jewelers' hands.
Whores, by that rule, are precious.
Will you hear me? I'll never marry.
So most widows say. But commonly, that motion lasts no longer than the turning of an hourglass, the funeral sermon, and it end both together.
Now hear me. You live in a rank pasture here in the court. There is a kind of honeydew that's deadly. It will poison your fame. Look to it. Be not cunning. For they whose faces do belie their hearts are witches ere they arrive at 20 years. Aye, and give the devil suck.
This is terrible good counsel.
Hypocrisy is woven of a fine small thread, subtler than Vulcan's engine. Yet believe it, your darkest actions, nay, your private
thoughts will come to light.
You may flatter yourself and take your own choice. Privately be married under the eaves of night.
Think it the best voyage that ever you made. Like the irregular crab, which though it goes backward, thinks that it goes right because it goes its own way. But observe, such weddings may more properly be said to be executed than celebrated.
The marriage night is the entrance into some prison, and those joys...
And those joys, those lustful pleasures, are like heavy sleeps which do forerun man's mischief.
Fare you well. Wisdom at the end. Remember it.
I think this speech between you both was studied. It came so roundly off.
You are my sister. This was my father's poniard. Do you see? I'd be loath to see it look rusty, because it was his. I would have you give all these chargeable rebels. A visor and a mask are whispering rooms that were never built for goodness. Fare you well.
Shall this move me? If all my royal kindred lay in my way unto this marriage, I'd make them my low footsteps. And even now, even in this hate, as men in some great battles, by apprehending danger, have achieved almost impossible actions. I have heard soldiers say so. So I, through frights and threatenings, will essay this dangerous venture. Let old wives report I winked and chose a husband. Cariola,
madam,
to thy known secrecy, I have given up more than my life. My fame.
Both shall be safe, for I'll conceal this secret from the world as warily as those that trade in poison keep poison from their children.
Thy protestation is ingenious and hearty. I believe it. Is Antonio come?
He attends you.
Good dear soul, leave me.
Aye, madam.
But place thyself behind the arras where thou mayst overhear us. Wish me good speed, for I am going into a wilderness where I shall find nor path nor friendly clue to be my guide.
Madam?
Antonio, I sent for you. Sit down. Take pen and ink and write. Are you ready?
Yes.
What did I say?
That I should write somewhat.
Oh, I remember. After these triumphs and this large expense, it's fit like thrifty husbands. We inquire what's laid up for tomorrow.
So please, your beauteous excellence.
Beauteous. Indeed, I thank you. I look young for your sake. You have taken my cares upon you.
I'll fetch your grace the particulars of your revenue and expense.
Oh, you are an upright treasurer, but you mistook. For when I said I meant to make inquiry what's laid up for tomorrow, I did mean what's laid up yonder for me.
Where?
In heaven. I am making my will, as 'tis fit princes should in perfect memory. And I pray, sir, tell me, will not one better make it smiling thus than in deep groans and terrible ghastly looks, as if the gifts we parted with procured that violent distraction?
Oh, much better.
If I had a husband now, this care were quit. But I intend to make you overseer. What good deed shall we first remember? Say.
Begin with that first good deed. Began in the world after man's creation. The sacrament of marriage. I'd have you first provide for a good husband. Give him all.
All?
Yes. Your excellent self.
In a winding sheet?
In a couple.
St. Winifred, that was a strange will.
To a stranger if there were no will in you to marry again.
What do you think of marriage?
I take it as those that deny purgatory. It locally contains or heaven or hell. There's no third place in it.
How do you affect it?
My banishment feeding my melancholy would often reason thus.
Pray, let's hear it.
Say a man never marry nor have children. What takes that from him? Only the bare name of being a father, or the weak delight to see the little wanton ride a cock horse upon a painted stick, or hear him chatter like a taut star.
Fie, what's all this? One of your eyes is bloodshot. Use my ring, Toot. They say it is very sovereign.
was my wedding ring. And I did vow never to part with it, but to my second husband.
You have parted with it. Now.
Yes. To help your eyesight.
You have made me stark blind.
How?
There is a saucy and ambitious devil is dancing in this circle.
Remove him.
How?
There needs small conjuration when your finger may do it. Thus. Is it fit?
Ambition, madam, is a great man's madness that is not kept in chains and close-pent rooms, but in fair, lightsome lodgings, and is girt with the wild noise of prattling visitants, which makes it lunatic beyond all cure. Conceive not I am so stupid, but I am whereto your favors tend. But he's a fool that, being a cold, would thrust his hands in the fire to warm
it. So, now the ground's broke. You may discover what a wealthy mine I make you lord of.
Oh, my unworthiness.
You were ill to sell yourself. This darkening of your worth is not like that which tradesmen use in the city. Their false lights are to rid bad wares off. And I must tell you, if you will know where breeds a complete man, I speak it without flattery. Turn your eyes and progress through yourself.
Were there nor heaven nor hell, I should be honest. I have long served virtue, and ne'er ta'en wages of her.
Now she pays it. The misery of us that are born great. We are forced to woo because none dare woo us. And as a tyrant doubles with his words and fearfully equivocates, so we are forced to express our violent passions in riddles and in dreams, and leave the path of simple virtue, which was never made to seem the thing it is not. Go, go brag you have left me heartless. Mine is in your bosom. I hope to multiply love there. You do tremble. Make not your heart so dead a piece of flesh to fear more than to love me. Sir, be confident. What is distracts you? This is flesh and blood, sir. 'Tis not the figure cut in alabaster kneels at my husband's tomb. Awake, awake, man. I do here put off all vain ceremony, and only do appear to you a young widow that claims you for her husband. And like a widow, I use but half a blushing.
Truth, speak for me. I will remain the constant sanctuary of your good name.
I thank you, gentle love. And cause you shall not come to me in debt, being now my steward, here upon your lips, I sign your quietus est. This you should have begged now. I have seen children oft eat sweetmeats thus, as fearful to devour them too soon.
But for your brothers...
Do not think of them. All discord without this circumference is only to be pitied and not feared. Yet should they know it, time will easily scatter the tempest. Cariola, madam, be not amazed. This woman's of my counsel. I have heard lawyers say, a contract in a chamber per verba presenti is absolute marriage. Kneel. Sacred Gordian, which let violence never untwine.
And may our sweet affections, like the spheres, be still in motion.
Quickening, and make the like soft music.
That we may imitate the loving palms, best emblem of a peaceful marriage, that never bore fruit divided.
How can the church build faster? We now are man and wife, and 'tis the church that must but echo this. Maid, stand apart. I now am blind.
What's your conceit in this?
I would have you lead your fortune by the hand unto your marriage bed. You speak in me this, for we now are one. We'll only lie and talk together and plot to appease my humorous kindred. And if you please, like the old tale in Alexandra and Ludovic, lay a naked sword between us, keep us chaste. Oh, let me shroud my blushes in your bosom, since 'tis the treasury of all my secrets. Come, enter.
Whether the spirit of greatness or of woman reign most in her, I know not, but it shows a fearful madness. I owe her much of pity.
You say, Castruccio, you would fain be taken for an eminent courtier?
Tis the very main of my ambition.
Let me see. You have a reasonable good face for it already, and your nightcap expresses your ears sufficiently largely. I would have you learn to twirl the strings of your band with a good grace, and in a set speech at the end of every sentence to hum 3 or 4 times, or blow your nose till it's smart again to recover your memory. When you come to be a president in criminal causes, if you smile upon a prisoner, hang him. But if you frown upon him and threaten him, let him be sure to escape the gallows.
I would be a very merry president.
Oh, do not sup a night. It will beget you an admirable wit.
Rather, it would make me have a good stomach to quarrel. For they say your roaring boys eat meat seldom, and that makes me so valiant. But how shall I know whether the people take me for an eminent fellow?
Well, I teach you a trick to know it. Give out that you lie a dying. And if you hear the common people curse you, be sure you're taken for one of the prime nightcaps. Old lady, you come from painting now.
From what?
Why, from your scurvy face, is it? To behold thee not painted inclines somewhat near a miracle. These in thy face here were deep ruts and foul sloughs of the last progress. There was a lady in France that, having had the smallpox, flayed the skin off her face to make it more level. And whereas before she looked like a nutmeg grater, after she resembled an abortive hedgehog.
Do you call this painting?
No, no, but you call it careening of an old morphewed lady. To make her disembogue again. There's rough cast phrase to your plastic.
It seems you are well acquainted with my closet.
One would suspect it for a shop of witchcraft, to find in it the fat of serpents, spawn of snakes, Jews' spittle, and a young children's ordure. And all these for the face. I would sooner eat a dead pigeon taken from the soles of the feet of one sick of the plague than kiss one of you fasting.
Mark me,
Castruccio. Here are two of you. The sin of your youth is the very patrimony of the physician. Makes him renew his foot cloth with a spring and change his high-priced courtesan with a fall of the leaf. I do wonder you do not loathe yourself. Observe my meditation now. What thing is in this outward form of man to be beloved? We are counted ominous if nature to produce a coat or lamb, a fawn or goat in any limb resembling a man and fly from it as a prodigy. Man stands amazed to see his deformity in any other creature but himself. But in our own flesh, though we bear diseases which have their true names only tamed from beasts as the most ulcerous wolf and swinish measles, though we are eaten up of lice and worms, and though continually we bear about us a rotten and dead body, we delight to hide it in rich tissue. All our fear, nay, all our terror, is lest our physician shall put us in the ground to be made sweet. Your wife's gone to Rome. You two couple and get you to the wells at Lucca to recover your aches. I have other work on foot. I observe our Duchess is sick a days. She pukes. Her stomach seethes. The fins of her eyelids looks most teeming blue. She wanes of the cheek and waxes fat in the flank. And contrary to our Italian fashion, wears a loose-bodied gown. a somewhat end. I have a trick may chance discover it, a pretty one. I've bought some apricots, the first our spring yields. Here comes Antonio.
And so long since marriage. You amaze me. Let me seal your lips forever, Delio. For did I think that anything but the air could carry these words from you, I should wish you had no breath at all.
Ah, Bursola.
Antonio.
Now, sir, in your contemplation, you are studying to become a great wise fellow.
Oh, sir, the opinion of wisdom is a foul tether that runs all over a man's body. If simplicity direct us to have no evil, it direct us to a happy being. For the subtlest folly proceeds from the subtlest wisdom. Mm-hmm. Let me be simply honest.
I do understand your insight.
Do you so?
Because you would not seem to appear to the world puffed up with your preferment, you continue this out-of-fashion melancholy. Leave it, leave it.
Give me leave to be honest. In any phrase, in any compliment whatsoever. Shall I confess myself to you? I look no higher than I can reach. They are the gods that must ride on winged horses. A lawyer's mule of a slow pace will both suit my disposition of business. For mark me, when a man's mind rides faster than his horse can gallop, then quickly both tire.
You would look up to heaven. But I think the devil that rules in the air stands in your light.
Oh, sir, you are the lord of the ascendant, chief man with the duchess. A duke was your cousin German removed. Say you are lineally descended from King Pepin or himself. What of that? Search the heads of the greatest rivers in the world, you shall find them but bubbles of water. Some would think the souls of princes were brought forth by some more weighty cause than those of meaner persons. They're deceived. There's the same hand to them. The like passion sway them. The same reason that makes a vicar go to law for a tithe picking unto his neighbors. Makes them spoil a whole province and batter down goodly cities with a cannon. Here's the duchess and the lady.
Your arm, Antonio.
Good, madam.
Do I not grow fat? I am exceeding short-winded. Bursola, I would have you, sir, provide for me a litter, such a one as the Duchess of Florence rode in.
The Duchess used one when she was great with child.
I think she did. Cariola, come hither, mend my ruff. Here, when? Madam, oh, thou art such a tedious lady, and thy breath smells of lemon pills. Would thou have done? Can I swoon under thy fingers? I am so troubled with the mother.
I fear too much.
Heard you say, Antonio, that the French courtiers wear their hats on for the king.
I have seen it.
In the presence?
Yes.
Why should not we bring up their fashion? It is ceremony more than duty that consists in the removing of a piece of felt. Be you the example to the rest of the court. Put on your hat first.
You must pardon me. I have seen in colder countries than in France, nobles stand bare to the prince, and the distinction the thought shows reverently.
Madam, I have a present for your grace. Look, Your Grace.
For me, sir?
Apricots, madam.
Oh, sir, where are they? I have heard of none to hear.
Good. The color rises.
Indeed, I thank you. They are wondrous, fair ones. What an unskillful fellow is our gardener. We shall have none this month.
Will not Your Grace pair them?
No. They taste of musk, methinks. Indeed, they do.
I know not yet. I wish Your Grace had paired them.
Why?
I forgot to tell you. The knave gardener, only to raise his profit by them, the sooner did ripen them in horse dung.
Oh, you jest. You shall judge, Antonio. Pray taste one.
Indeed, madam, I do not love the fruit.
Sir, you are loath to rob us of our dainties. 'Tis a delicate fruit. They say they are restorative.
'Tis a pretty art, this grafting.
'Tis so, bettering of nature.
To make a pippin grow up on a crab, a damson on a blackthorn.
How greedy is he? How well we strike off these bored farthingales. But for that loose-bodied gown, I should have discovered apparently the young spring girl cutting a caper in her belly.
I thank you, Bursola. They are right good ones. If they do not make me sick.
Oh, no, madam.
This green fruit in my stomach are not friends. How they swell me.
Nay, you're too much swelled already.
Oh, I'm in an extreme cold sweat.
I'm very sorry.
Lights to my chamber. Oh, good Antonio.
Madam.
Lights to my chamber. Oh, madam. My chamber, Cariola. Oh, madam.
Light there. Light.
Oh, my most trusty Delio, we are lost. I fear she's fallen in labor, and there's left no time for her to move.
Have you prepared those ladies to attend her and procured that politic-safe conveyance for the midwife your duchess plotted?
I have.
Make use, then, of this forced occasion. Give out that Bosala has poisoned her with these apricocks. That will give some color for her keeping close.
Fie, the physicians will then flock to her.
For that, you may pretend she'll use some prepared antidote of her own, lest the physicians should re-poison her.
I am lost in amazement. I know not what to think.
There's no question but her tetchiness and those vulturous eating of the apricocks are apparent signs of breeding. And now...
Oh, I am in haste.
There was a young waiting woman, had a monstrous desire to see the glass house.
And it was only
to know what strange instrument it was should swell up the glass to a fashionable woman's belly.
I will hear no more of the glass house. You are still abusing women.
Why? No. Only, by the way, now and then mention their frailties. The orange tree bears ripened green fruit and blossoms altogether, and some of you give entertainment for pure love, but more for more precious reward. The lusty spring smells well, but drooping autumn tastes well. If we have the same golden showers that rained in the time of Jupiter the Thunderer, you have the same Danae still to hold up their laps to receive them. Didst thou never study the mathematics?
What's that?
Why, to know the trick. How to make a many lines meet in one center.
Oh.
Go, give your foster daughters good counsel. Tell them that the devil takes delight to hang at a woman's girdle like a false rusty watch, that she cannot discern how the time passes.
Shut up the court gates!
Why, sir, what's the danger?
Shut up the postern presently, and call all the officers of the court.
I shall instantly.
Who keeps the key of the park gate?
For
Bosco!
Let him drink,
sentry! Hola there! Oh, gentlemen of the court, the foulest treason!
That these apricocks should be poisoned now without my knowledge.
Are all the officers here?
We are.
Gentlemen, we have lost much plate, you know. And but this evening, jewels to the value of 4,000 ducats are missing in the Duchess' cabinet. Are the gates shut?
They are, sir!
It is the Duchess' pleasure each officer be locked into his chamber till the sun rising, and to send the keys of all their chests and of their outward doors into her bedchamber. She is very sick.
At her pleasure.
She entreats you, take it not ill. The innocent shall be the more approved by it.
How fares it with the Duchess? She's exposed unto the worst of torture, pain and fear. Speak to her all happy comfort.
How I do play the fool with mine own danger. You are this night, dear friend, to post to Rome. My life lies in your service.
Do not doubt me.
Tis far from me, and yet fear presents me somewhat that looks like danger.
Believe it is but the shadow of your fear, no more. How superstitiously we mind our evils. The throwing down salt or crossing of a hare, bleeding at nose, the stumbling of a horse, or singing of a cricket are of power to daunt whole man in us. Sir, fare you well. I wish you all the joys of a blessed father. And for my faith, lay this unto your breast. Old friends, like old swords, still are trusted best.
Farewell.
Cariola.
Good afternoon, sir.
Cariola.
Sir, you are the happy father of a son. Your wife commends him to you.
Oh, blessed comfort. Oh, Cariola, for heaven's sake, tend her well.
What think you of me?
I'll presently go set a figure for the nativity.
I must have part of it. My intelligence will free yours. Just again. It may be it was the melancholy bird, best friend of silence and of solitariness, the owl that screams. Huh?
Antonio!
I heard something.
Who's there? What art thou? Speak!
Antonio!
But not your face, nor body, just such a forced expression of fear. I am Bosola, your friend. Bosola.
This mould has undermined me.
Heard you not the noise even now?
Went
from the Duchess' lodging.
Aye, did you?
I did, or else I dreamed.
Well, let's walk towards it.
No. It may be it was but the rising of the wind.
Very likely. I think it's very cold.
Did you sweat? You look wildly.
I have been setting a figure for the Duchess' jewels.
And how foolish your question? You find it radical?
What's that to you? It is rather to be questioned what design, when all men were commanded to their lodging, makes you a nightwalker.
Soon I'll tell you. Now all are caught asleep. I thought the devil had least to do here. I came to say my prayers.
And if it do offend you, I do so. You're a fine courtier.
This fellow will undo me.
You gave the Duchess apricots today. Pray heaven they were not poisoned. A Spanish trick for the imputation. Traitors are ever confident till they are discovered. There were jewels stolen, too. In my conceit, none are to be suspected more than yourself.
You're a false judge.
Saucy slave, I'll pull thee up by the roots.
Maybe the ruin will crush you to pieces,
and you are an impudent snake indeed, sir. Are you scarce warm, and do you show your sting? You libel well, sir.
No, sir, now copy it, Algernon. I'll set my hand to it.
My nose, please. One that was superstitious would count this ominous when it merely comes by chance. Two letters that I here wrote for my name are drowned in blood. Mere accident.
For you, sir, I'll take your order in the morn. You shall be safe.
Is that must color her lying in?
Sir, this door you pass not. I do not hold it fit that you come near the Duchess lodging till you have quit yourself.
And tell me, you're about to drop a paper. Some of your helpful friend. I hear a kiss. What's here? A child's nativity calculated. A duchess was delivered of a son. Between the hours 12 and 1 in the night, Anno Domini 1504. That's this year. Decimo nono decembris. This night. Taken according to the meridian of Malfi. That's our duchess. Happy discovery. The lord of the first house being combust in the ascendant signifies short life, and Mars being in a human sign joined to the tail of the dragon in the eighth house to threaten a violent death, cetera non scutantur. Why now, it is most apparent. This precise fellow is the Duchess bored. I have it to my wish. This is the parcel of intelligence our courtiers were cased up for. It needs must follow that I must be committed on pretense of poisoning her, which I'll endure and laugh at.
You might want to find the father. But that time will discover. Old Castruccio of the Morning Post's to Rome. By him, I'll send a letter that shall make her brother's galls o'erflow their livers. This was a thrifty way. Though lusts do mask in ne'er so strange disguise, she's oft found witty, but is never wise.
Julia, thou art my best of wishes. Prithee tell me, what trick didst thou invent to come to Rome without thy husband?
Why, my lord, I told him I came to visit an old anchorite here for devotion.
Thou art a witty false one, I mean to him.
You have prevailed with me beyond my strongest thoughts. I would not now find you inconstant.
Oh, do not put thyself to such a voluntary torture which proceeds out of your own guilt.
How, my lord?
You fear my constancy because you have approved those giddy and wild turnings in yourself.
Did you ever find them?
So, for generally for women, a man might strive to make glass malleable ere he should make them fixed.
Oh, my lord.
We had Ligo borrow that fantastic glass invented by Galileo the Florentine to view another spacious world, the moon, and look to find a constant woman there.
Oh, this is very well, my lord.
Why do you weep? Are tears your justification? The self-same tears will fall into your husband's bosom, lady, with a loud protestation that you love him above the world. Calm. I love you wisely, that jealously, since I am very certain you cannot make me cuckold.
I'll go home to my husband.
You may thank me, lady. I have taken you off your melancholy perch, bore you upon my fist, and showed you game, and let you fly at it. I pray thee, kiss me. Oh. When thou wast with thy husband, thou wast watched like a tame elephant. Still you are to thank me. Thou hadst only kisses from him and high feeding. And what delight was that? Was just like one that hath a little fingering on the lute, yet cannot tune it. Still, you are to thank me.
Thou You told me of a piteous wound in the heart and a sick liver when you wooed me first and spake like one in physic.
My lord cardinal.
Who's that? Rest firm, for my affection to thee, lightning moves slow to it.
Madam, the gentleman that's come first from Malfi desires to see you.
Let him enter. I'll withdraw.
He says, your husband, old Castruccio, he's come to Rome, most pitifully tired with riding post.
Madam Julia, I was longing to come and see you.
Signor Delio, one of my old tutors. Sir, you are welcome.
Do you lie here?
Sure, your own experience will satisfy you, no. Our Roman prelates do not keep lodging for ladies.
Very well. I have brought you no commendations from your husband, for I know none by him.
I hear he's come to Rome.
I never knew man and beast of a horse and a knight so weary of each other. If he'd had a good back, he would have undertook to have borne his horse. His breech was so pitifully sore.
Your laughter is my pity.
Lady, I know not whether you want money, but I have brought you some.
From my husband?
No, from mine own allowance.
Oh, I must hear the condition ere I be bound to take it.
Look on. Tis gold. Hath it not a fine color?
I have a bird more beautiful.
Try the sound on.
A lute string far exceeds it. It hath no smell like cassia or civet. Nor is it physical, though some fond doctors persuade us these thin colors is. I tell you, this is a creature bred by those...
Madam, your husband comes. Has delivered a letter to the Duke of Calabria that, to my thinking, has put him out of his wits.
Sir, you hear. Pray let me know your business and your suit as briefly as can be.
With good speed. At such time as you are non-resident with your husband, I would wish you my mistress.
Sir, I'll go ask my husband if I shall, and straight return your answer.
Very fine. Is this her wit or honesty that speaks thus? I heard one say the Duke was highly moved at the letter sent from Malfi. I do fear Antonio is betrayed. How fearfully shows his ambition now. Unfortunate fortune. They pass through whirlpools and deep woes do shun who the event weigh ere the action's done.
I have this night digged up a mandrake.
Hey, you.
And I'm grown mad with it.
What's the property?
Read there. A sister damned. She's loose of the hilt. Grown a notorious trumpet.
Speak lower.
Lower? Rogues do not seek to whisper it now, but seek to publish it. The servants do the bounty of their lords aloud, and with a covetous searching eye to mark who knows them. Oh, confusion. Seize her. She hath had most cunning boards to serve her turn, and more secure conveyances for lust than tongues of garrison for service.
Is possible? Can this be certain?
Oh, rhubarb to purge this collar. Here's a cursed day shall pump my memory, and here shall stick till of her bleeding heart I make a sponge to wipe it out.
Why do you make yourself so wild at
it? Would I could be one, but I might toss her palace by her ears, root up her goodly forests, blast her meads, and lay her general territory as waste, as she hath done her honors.
Shall our blood, the royal blood of Aragon and Castile, be thus attainted?
But this is physic. We must not now use balsamum, but fire, the smarting cupping glass, for that's the means to purge infected blood, such blood as hers.
There is a kind of pity in mine eye. I'll give it to my handkerchief.
And now it is here. I'll bequeath this to her bastard.
What to do?
Why, to make soft lint for his mother's wounds when I have hewed her to pieces.
Creature, unequal nature to place women's hearts so far upon the left side.
Foolish men, that e'er will trust their honor in a bark made of so slight, weak bulrush as his woman, apt every minute to sink it.
Thus ignorance, when it hath purchased honor, it cannot wield it.
Methinks I see her laughing.
Excellent hyena!
Do me some more quickly. My imagination will carry me to see her in a shameful act of sin.
I thought it was some strong-thigh bargeman, or one of the woodyard that can quite the sledge or toss the bar, or else some lovely squire that carries coals up to her privy lodging.
Fly beyond your reach.
Go to, mistress. 'Tis not your whore's milk that shall quench my wild fire, but your whore's blood!
How idly shows this rage which carries you as men conveyed by witches through the air on violent whirlwinds. This intemperate noise fitly resembles deaf men's shrill discourse who talk aloud, thinking all other men to have their imperfection.
Not you, my poor.
Yes, but I can be angry without this rupture. There is not in nature a thing that makes man so deformed, so beastly, as does intemperate anger. Chide yourself. You have diverse men who never yet express their strong desire of rest but by unrest, by vexing of themselves calm. Put yourself in tune,
though. I will only study to seem the thing I am not. I could kill her now in you or in myself. For I do think it is some sin in us. Heaven doth revenge by her.
Are you stark
mad? I would have that body burned in a cold pit with the vintage stock of that cursed smoke might not ascend to heaven. Or dip the sheets they lie in pitch or sulfur, wrap them in, and then light them like a match. Or is to boil their bastard to a callous and give this lecherous father to renew the sin of his past?
Oh, I leave you.
I have done. I am confident, had I been damned in hell and should have heard of this, it would have put me into a cold sweat. In ugly sleep. Till I do know who leaps my sister, I'll not stir. That known, I'll find scorpions to string my whips. And fix her in a general eclipse!
Beloved Delio! Oh, you have been a stranger long at court. Came you along with the Lord Ferdinand?
I did, sir. And how fares your noble duchess?
Ah, right fortunately well. Since you last saw her, she hath had 2 children more, a son and daughter.
Methinks 'twas yesterday. Let me but wink and not behold your face, which to mine eye is somewhat leaner. Mm-hmm. Verily, I should dream it were within this half hour.
You have not been in law, friend Delio, nor in prison. Nor a suitor at the court, nor beg the reversion of some great man's place, nor troubled with an old wife, which doth make your time so insensibly hasten.
Pray, sir, tell me, hath not this news arrived yet to the ear of the Lord Cardinal?
I fear it hath. The Lord Ferdinand that's newly come to court doth bear himself right dangerously.
Pray, why?
He is so quiet that he seems to sleep the tempest out as dormice do in winter. Those houses that are haunted are most still till the devil be up.
What say the common people?
The common rabble do directly say she is a strumpet.
And your graver heads, which would be politic, what censure they?
They do observe I go to infinite purchase the left-hand way. And all suppose the Duchess would amend it if she could. For, say they, great princes, though they grudge their officers should have such large and unconfined means to get wealth under them, will not complain lest thereby they should make them odious unto the people. For other obligation of love or marriage between her and me, they never dream of.
I instantly to bed, for I am weary.
Lord Ferdinand comes.
I am to bespeak a husband for you.
For me, sir? Pray, who is?
The great Count Malatesti.
Fie upon him. A count? He's a mere stick of sugar candy. You may look quite through him. When I choose a husband, I will marry for your honor.
You shall do well in't. Worthy Antonio?
My lord.
I am to have private conference with you about a scandalous report is spread touching mine honor.
Let me be ever deaf to it. One of Pasquill's paper bullets caught calumny, a pestilent air which princes' palaces are seldom purged of. Yet say that it were true. I pour it in your bosom. My fixed love
would strongly excuse, extenuate, nay, deny faults were they apparent in you. Girl, be safe in your own innocency.
My lord.
Antonio, Delio, go. I'll be alone.
Lord Ferdinand.
Her guilt treads on hot, burning coals.
Lord Ferdinand, sir.
Now, Ursula.
Sir.
How thrives our intelligence?
Sir, uncertainly. 'Tis rumored she hath had three bastards, but by whom we may go read of the stars.
By some hold opinion we may read all things there.
Yes, if we could find spectacles to read them. I do suspect there has been some sorcery used on the Duchess.
Sorcery? To what purpose?
To make her dote on some desertless fellow she shames to acknowledge.
Can your faith give way to think there's power in potions or in charms to make us love whether we will or no?
Most certainly.
Oh, these are mere gulleries, horrid things invented by some cheating mountebanks to abuse us. Do you think that herbs or charms can force the will? Some trials have been made in this foolish practice, but the ingredients were lenitive poisons, such as are of force to make the patient mad, and straight the witch swears by equivocation they are in love. The witchcraft lies in her rank blood. This night I will force confession from her. You told me you had got within these 2 days a false key into her bedchamber.
I have.
As I would wish.
What do you intend to do?
Can you guess?
No.
Do not ask then. He that can compass me and know my drifts may say he hath put a girdle about the world and sounded all her quicksands.
I do not think so.
What do you think then, pray?
That you are your own chronicle too much and grossly flatter yourself.
Give me thy hand, I thank thee. I never gave pension but to flatterers till I entertain thee. Farewell.
Bring me the casket hither and the glass. You get no lodging here tonight, my lord.
Indeed. I must persuade one.
Very good. Mm. I hope in time it will grow into a custom that noblemen shall come with cap and knee to purchase a night's lodging of their wives.
I must lie here.
Must? You are a lord of misrule.
Indeed. My rule is only in the night.
To what use will you put me?
We'll sleep together.
Alas, what pleasure can two lovers find in sleep?
My lord, I lie with her often, and I know she'll much disquiet you.
I see, you are much complained of.
For she's a sprawling bedfellow.
I shall like her the better for that.
Sir, shall I ask you a question?
Aye, pray thee, Cariola.
Wherefore still, when you lie with my lady, do you rise so early?
Laboring men count the clock oftenest, Cariola, are glad when their tasks end.
I'll stop your mouth.
Nay, that's but one. Venus had two soft doves to draw her chariot. I must have another.
Cariola, unpin me. There, madam.
When wilt thou marry, Cariola?
Never, my lord.
Oh, fie upon this single life. Forgo it. We read how Daphne, for her peevish flight, became a fruitless bay tree. Syrinx turned into the pale, empty reed. Anaxarete was frozen into marble, whereas those which married or proved kind unto their friends were, by a gracious influence, transshaped into the olive, pomegranate, mulberry, became flowers, precious stones, or eminent stars.
This is vain poetry. But I pray you tell me, if there were proposed me wisdom, riches, and beauty in three several young men,
mm-hmm.
which should I choose?
Ah, it is a hard question. This was Paris' case, and he was blind in it, and there was great cause. For how was possible he could judge right, having three amorous goddesses in view, and they stark naked? By his emotion, were able to benight the apprehension of the severest counselor of Europe. Now I look on both your faces so well formed. It puts me in mind of a question I would ask.
What is?
I do wonder why hard-favored ladies, for the most part, keep worse-favored waiting women to attend them and cannot endure fair ones.
Oh, that's soon answered. Did you ever in your life know an ill painter desire to have his dwelling next door to the shop of an excellent picture maker? It would disgrace his face-making and undo him. I pity, when were we so merry? My hair tangles.
Does not the color of my hair begin to change?
When I wax gray, I shall have all the court powder their hair with arras to belight me. You have cause to love me. I entered you into my heart before you would vouchsafe to call for the key. We shall one day have my brothers take you napping. Methinks his presence being now in court should make you keep your own bed. But you'll say, love mixed with fear is sweetest. I'll assure you, you shall get no more children till my brothers consent to be your gossips. Have you lost your tongue? Ferdinand, 'tis welcome. For know, whether I am doomed to live or die, I can do both like a prince.
Die then, quickly. Virtue, where art thou hid? What hideous thing is it that doth eclipse thee?
Pray, sir, hear me.
Or is it true that thou art of bed but a bare name and no essential thing?
Sir,
do not speak.
No, sir. I will plant my soul in mine ears to hear you.
Oh, most imperfect light of human reason that makes us so unhappy to foresee what we can least prevent. Pursue thy wishes and glory in them. There's in shame no comfort but to be past all bounds and sense of shame.
I pray, sir, hear me. I am married.
So?
Happily not to your liking. But for that, alas, your shears do come untimely now to clip the bird's wing that's already flown. Will you see my husband?
Yes! If I could change eyes with a basilisk.
Then will you see my
husband? The howling of a wolf is music to thee, screech owl. Pity peace. Yes. Whate'er thou art that hast enjoyed my sister, for I am sure thou hearest me, for thine own sake let me not know thee. I came hither prepared to work thy discovery, yet am now persuaded it would beget such violent effects as would damn us both. I would not for 10 millions I had beheld thee. Therefore use all means I may never have knowledge of thy name. Enjoy thy lust still and a wretched life on that condition. And for thee, vile woman, if thou do wish thy lecher may grow old in thy embracements, I would have thee build such a room for him as our anchorites to holier use inhabit. Let not the sun shine on him till he's dead. Let dogs and monkeys only converse with him, and such dumb things to whom nature denies use to sound his name. Do not keep a paraquito, lest she learn it. If thou do love him, cut out thine own tongue, lest it betray him.
Why might not I marry? I have not gone about in this to create any new world or custom.
Lower and done. And thou hast ta'en that massy sheet of lead that hid thy husband's bones and folded it about my heart.
Mine bleeds, Pod.
Thine. Thy heart, what should I name unless a hollow bullet filled with unquenchable wild fire?
Wariness too strict, and were you not my princely brother, I would say too willful. My reputation is safe.
Dost thou know what reputation is? I'll tell thee, to small purpose, since instruction comes now too late. Upon a time, reputation, love, and death would travel o'er the world. And it was concluded that they should part and take 3 several ways. Death told them they should find him in great battles or cities plagued with plagues. Love gives them counsel to inquire for him amongst unambitious shepherds where dowries were not talked of, and sometimes amongst quiet kindred that had nothing left by their dead parents. Stay, quoth reputation, do not forsake me. For it is my nature, if once I part from any man I meet, I am never found again. And so for you, you have shook hands with reputation and made him invisible. So fare you well. I will never see you more.
Why should only I, of all the other princes of the world, be cased up like a holy relic? I have you. And a little beauty.
So you have some virgins that are witches. I will never see thee more.
Antonio. Cariola. You saw this apparition.
Yes. We are betrayed. How came he hither?
I should turn this to thee for that.
Traitor doom. And when that you have cleft my heart, you shall read there mine innocence.
Your pardon, Cariola.
That gallery gave him entrance.
I would this terrible thing would come again. that standing on my guard, I might relate my warrantable love.
Look.
What means this poniard?
He left this with me.
And it seems did wish you would use it on yourself?
His action seemed to intend so much.
This hath a handle to it, as well as a point. Turn it towards him, and so fasten the keen edge in his rank jaw. How now, who knocks? More earthquakes?
I stand as if a mine beneath my feet were ready to be blown up.
She's Bosola.
Away. Oh, misery. To think unjust action should wear these masks and curtains and not me. You must instantly part hence. I have fashioned it already. Come away.
Madam, madam, the Duke, your brother, is ta'en up in a whirlwind, and took horse and is ready post to Rome.
So late?
He told me as he mounted into the saddle you were undone.
Indeed, I am very near it.
What's the matter?
Antonio, the master of my household, hath dealt so falsely with me and the Count. My brother stood engaged with me for money ta'en up of certain Neapolitan Jews, and Antonio lets the bonds be forfeit.
Strange. This is coming.
And hereupon my brother's bills at Naples are protested against. Call up our officers.
I shall. Madam, I take my leave.
Antonio, the place that you must fly to is Ancona. Hire a house there. Mm. I'll send after you my treasure and my jewels. Mm. Once thou accuse you of such a feigned crime as Tasso calls magnanima menzogna, a noble lie, cause it must shield our honors. Hark! They are coming to your part.
Madam.
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 Madam, your officer. Will your grace hear me?
I have got well by you. You have yielded me a million of loss. I am like to inherit the people's curses for your stewardship. You have the trick in audit time to be sick till I have signed your quietus, and that cured you without help of a doctor. Gentlemen, I would have this man be an example to you all. So shall you hold my favor. I pray let him. For has done that, alas, you would not think of. And because I intend to be rid of him, I mean not to publish. Use your fortune elsewhere.
I am strongly armed to brook my overthrow, as commonly men bear with a hard year. I will not blame the causant, but do think the necessity of my malevolent star procures this, not her humor. Oh, the inconstant and rotten ground of service. You may see, 'tis even like him that in a winter night takes a long slumber or a dying fire a loaf to part from, yet parts thence as cold as when he first sat down.
We do confiscate towards the satisfying of your accounts all that you have.
I am all yours. And 'tis very fit all mine should be so.
So, sir, you have your parts.
You may see, gentlemen, what 'tis to serve a prince with body and soul.
Here's an example for extortion. What moisture is drawn out of the sea when foul weather comes, pours down and runs into the sea again.
Sir, I would know what are your opinions of this Antonio.
He could not abide to see a pig's head gaping. I thought your grace would find him a Jew.
I would you had been his officer for your own sake.
You would have had more money.
He stopped his ears with black wool, and to those came to him for money said he was thick of hearing.
Some said he was an hermaphrodite, for he could not abide a woman.
How scurvy proud he would look when the treasury was full. Well, let him go.
Yes, and the chippings of a buttery fly after him to scour his gold chain.
Leave us. Goodness. What do you think of these?
That these are rogues. That ends prosperity. But to have waited on his fortune could have wished his dirty stirrup riveted through their noses and followed after his mule like a bear in a ring, would have prostituted their daughters to his lust, made their firstborn intelligences, thought none happy but such as were born under his blessed planet and wore his livery. And do these lice drop off now? Well, never look to have the like again. He hath left a sort of flattering rogues behind him. Their doom must follow. Princes pay flatterers in their own money. Flatterers dissemble their vices and they dissemble their lies. That's justice. Alas, poor gentleman.
Poor. He hath amply filled his coffers.
Sure, he was too honest. Pluto, the god of riches, when he sent by Jupiter to any man, he goes limping to signify that wealth that comes on God's name comes slowly. But when he's sent on the devil's errand, He rides post and comes in by scuttles. Let me show you what a most unvalued jewel you have in a wanton humor thrown away to bless the man shall find him. He was an excellent courtier and most faithful. A soldier that thought it as beastly to know his own value too little as devilish to acknowledge it too much. Both his virtue and form deserved a far better fortune. His discourse rather delighted to judge itself than show itself. His breast was filled with all perfection, and yet it seemed a private whispering room. It made so little noise of it.
But he was basely descended.
Or will you make yourself a mercenary herald rather to examine men's pedigrees than virtues? You shall want him, for no. An honest statesman to a prince is like a cedar planted by a spring. The spring bathes the tree's root. The grateful tree rewards it with his shadow. You have not done so. I would sooner swim to the Bermudas on two politicians' rotten bladders tied together with an intelligencer's heartstring than depend on so changeable a prince's favor. Fare thee well, Antonio. Since the malice of the world would needs down with thee, it cannot be said yet that any ill happened unto thee, considering thy fall was accompanied with virtue.
Oh, you render me excellent music.
Say you?
This good one that you speak of is my husband.
Do I not dream? Can this ambitious age have so much goodness in us to prefer a man merely for worth, without these shadows of wealth and painted honors, possible?
I have had 3 children by him.
Fortunate lady, for you have made your private nuptial bed the humble and fair seminary of peace. No question, but many an unbeneficed scholar shall pray for you for this deed, and rejoice that some preferment in the world can yet arise from merit. The virgins of your land that have no dowries shall hope your example will raise them to rich husbands. Should you want soldiers, it will make the very Turks and Moors turn Christians and serve you for this act. Last, the neglected poets of your time, in honor of this trophy of a man raised by that curious engine, your white hand, shall thank you in their grave for it and make that more reverent than all the cabinets of living princes. For Antonio, his fame shall likewise flow from many a pen when heralds shall want coats to sell to men.
As I taste comfort in this friendly speech, so would I find concealment.
Oh, the secret of my prince, which I will wear on the inside of my heart.
You shall take charge of all my coin and jewels and follow him. For he retires himself to Ancona.
So?
Whither within few days I mean to follow thee.
Let me think. I would wish your grace to feign a pilgrimage to Our Lady of Loreto, scarce 7 leagues from fair Ancona. Oh. So you may depart your country with more honor. And your flight will seem a princely progress, retaining your usual train about you.
Sir, your direction shall lead me by the hand.
In my opinion, she were better progress to the baths at Lucca, or go visit the spa in Germany. For if you will believe me, I do not like this jesting with religion, this feigned pilgrimage.
But a superstitious fool, prepare us instantly for our departure. Past sorrows, let us moderately lament them. For those to come, seek wisely to prevent them.
A politician is the devil's quilted anvil. He fashions all sins on him, and the blows are never heard. He may work in a lady's chamber, is here for proof. What rests but I reveal all to my lord? Ah, this base quality of intelligence, sir. Why, every quality of the world prefers but gain or commendation. Now for this act I'm certain to be raised. And men that take weeds to the life are praised.
Here's Bosola, arrived from Malfi.
Bosola in Rome? What should be the business? Some falling out amongst the cardinals.
What's that, Bosola?
I knew him in Padua. A fantastical scholar, like such who study to know how many knots was in Hercules' club, of what color Achilles' beard was, or whether Hector were not troubled with the toothache. He hath studied himself half blear-eyed to know the true symmetry of Caesar's nose by a shoeing horn, and this he did to gain the name of a speculative man.
Mark Prince Ferdinand. A very salamander lives in Zai to mock the eager violence of fire.
That cardinal hath made more bad faces with his oppression than ever Michelangelo made good ones. He lifts up his nose like a foul porpoise before a storm.
the Lord Ferdinand blocks.
Like a deadly cannon that lightens ere it smokes.
And these are your true pangs of death, the pangs of life that struggle with great statesmen.
In such a deformed silence, witches whisper their charms.
Doth she make religion her riding hood to keep her from the sun and tempest?
That damns her. Methinks her fault and beauty blended together show like leprosy, the whiter the fouler. I make it a question whether her beggarly brats were ever christened.
I will instantly solicit the state of Ancona to have them banished.
You are for Loretto? I shall not be at your ceremony. Fare you well. Write to the Duke of Malfi, my young nephew she had by her first husband, and acquaint him with his mother's honesty.
I will.
Antonio. A slave that only smelled of ink and counters and never in his life looked like a gentleman but in the audit time. Go, go presently. Draw me out 150 of our horse and meet me at the fortress.
Ancona?
Yes, you see what power lightens in great men's breath.
Is all our train shrunk to this poor remainder?
These poor men, which have got little in your service, vow to take your fortune. But your wiser buntings, now they are fledged, are gone.
They have done wisely. This puts me in mind of death. I had a very strange dream tonight.
What was it?
Methought I wore my coronet of state, and on a sudden all the diamonds were changed to pearls.
My interpretation is you'll weep shortly, for to me the pearls do signify your tears.
The birds that live in the field on the wild benefit of nature live happier than we, for they may choose their mates and carol their sweet pleasures to the spring.
Madam, madam.
Bursula?
Ah, you're happily obtained. I have a letter for you.
From my brother?
Yes. From the Lord Ferdinand and your brother, all love and safety.
How does Blanche mischief would make it white? She likes to calm weather at sea before a tempest. False hearts speak fair to those they intend most mischief. Send Antonio to me. I want his head in a business. A politic equivocation. He doth not want your counsel, but your head. That is, he cannot sleep till you be dead. And here's another pitfall that's strewed o'er with Rosie's market is a cunning one. I stand engaged for your husband for several deaths at Naples. Let not that trouble him. I had rather have his heart than his money. And I believe so, too.
What do you believe?
That he so much distrusts my husband's love. He will by no means believe his heart is with him until he sees it. The devil is not cunning enough to circumvent us in riddles.
Will you reject that noble and free league of amity and love which I present you?
Their league is like that of some politic kings, only to make themselves of strength and power to be our after ruin. Tell them so.
And what from you?
Thus tell him, I will not come.
And what of this?
My brothers have dispersed bloodhounds abroad, which till I hear are muzzled, no truce, though hatched with ne'er such politic skill, is safe that hangs upon our enemy's will. I'll not come at them.
This proclaims your breeding. Every small thing draws a base mind to fear as the adamant draws iron. Fare you well, sir. You shall shortly hear from us.
I suspect some ambush. Therefore, by all my love, I do conjure you to take our eldest here and fly towards Milan. Let us not venture all this poor remainder in one unlucky bottom.
You counsel safely. Best of my life. Farewell, since we must part. Heaven hath a hand in, but no otherwise than as some curious artist takes in sunder a clock or watch when it is out of frame to bring in better order.
I know not which is best, to see you dead or part with you.
Mother.
Farewell, boy. Thou art happy that thou hast not understanding to know thy misery. For all our wit and reading brings us to a truer sense of sorrow.
in the eternal church, sir. I do hope we shall not part thus.
Oh, be of comfort. Make patience and noble fortitude, and think not how unkindly we are used. Man, like to Cassier, is proved best being bruised.
Not die, like a slave born thus. I can't it praise to suffer tyranny. And yet, O heaven, thy heavy hand is in. I have seen my little boy oft scourge his top, and compared myself to. Nought made me e'er go right but heaven's scourge stick.
Ah, do not weep. Heaven fashioned us of nothing, and we strive to bring ourselves to nothing. Farewell, Cariola, and thy sweet armful. If I do never see thee more, be a good mother to your little ones and save them from the tiger. Farewell.
Let me look upon you once more, for that speech came from a dying father. Your kiss is colder than that I have seen an holy anchorite give to a dead man's skull.
My heart is turned into a heavy lump of lead with which I sound my danger. Farewell.
My laurel is all withered.
Look, madam, what a troop of armed men make towards us.
Oh, they are very welcome. When fortune's wheel is overcharged with princes, the weight makes it move swift. I would have my ruin be sudden. I am your adventurer, am I not?
You are. You must see your husband no more.
What devil art thou that counterfeits heaven's thunder?
Is that terrible? I would have you tell me whether is that note worse that frights the silly birds out of the corn, or that which doth allure them to the nets. You've hearkened to the last too much.
Like to a rusty o'ercharged cannon shall I never fly in pieces. Come, to what prison?
To none.
Whither then?
To your palace.
I have heard that Charon's boat serves to convey all o'er the dismal lake, but brings none back again.
Your brothers mean you safety and pity.
Pity? With such a pity, men preserve alive pheasants and quails when they are not fat enough to be eaten.
These are children?
Yes.
Can they prattle?
No. But I intend, since they were born accursed, curses shall be their first language.
Fie, madam, forget this base low fellow.
Were I a man, I'd beat that counterfeit face into thy armor.
One of no birth.
Say that he was born mean. Man is most happy when his own actions be arguments and examples of his virtue.
A barren, beggarly virtue.
I pity who is greatest. Can you tell? Sad tales befit my woe. I'll tell you one. A salmon, as she swam unto the sea, met with a dogfish who encounters her with this rough language. Why art thou so bold to mix thyself with our high state of floods, being no eminent courtier? But one that for the calmest and fresh time of the year dost live in shallow rivers, ranks thyself with silly smelts and shrimps. And darest thou pass by our dogship without reverence? Oh, quoth the salmon, sister, be at peace. Thank Jupiter, we both have passed the net. Our value never can be truly known till in the fisher's basket we be shown. If a market, then my price may be the higher, even when I am nearest to the cook and fire. So to great men the moral may be stretched. Men oft are valued high when they're most wretched. But come whither you please. I am armed against misery, bent to all sways of the oppressor's will. There's no deep valley, but near some high hill.
How doth our sister Duchess bear herself?
Nobly. I'll describe her. She's sad as one long used to it. She seems rather to welcome the end of misery than shun it. A behavior so noble as gives a majesty to adversity. You may discern the shape of loveliness more perfect in her tears than in her smile. She will muse 4 hours together, and her silence, methinks, expresseth more than if she spake.
Her melancholy seems to be fortified by a strange disdain.
It is so. And this restraint, like English mastiffs that grow fierce with tying, makes her too passionately apprehend these pleasures she's kept from.
Curse upon her. I no longer study in the book of another's heart. She comes. Inform her what I told you.
All comfort, Your Grace.
I will have none. Pray thee, why dost thou wrap thy poison pills in gold and sugar?
Your elder brother, the Lord Ferdinand, is come to visit you, and sends you word, because once he rashly made a solemn vow never to see you more, he comes of a night, and prays you gently, neither torch nor taper shine in your chamber. He will kiss your hand and reconcile himself, but for his vow he dares not see you.
At his pleasure. Take hence the light.
Aye, good night.
He's come.
Where are you?
Here, sir.
This darkness suits you well.
I would ask you pardon.
You have it, for I account it the honorablest revenge where I may kill to pardon. Where are your cubs?
Whom?
Call them your children. But though our national law distinguish bastards from true legitimate issue, compassionate nature makes them all equal.
Will you visit me for this? You violate a sacrament of the church shall make you howl in hell for
it. It had been well could you have lived thus always. For indeed you were too much in the light. But no more. I come to seal my peace with you. Here's a hand to which you have vowed much love. The ring upon it you gave. I will leave this ring with you for a love token. And the hand assures the ring. And do not doubt but you shall have the heart too. When you need a friend, send it to him that owned it. You shall see whether he can aid you.
I affectionately kiss it.
Pray do. And bury the print of it in your heart.
You are very cold. I fear you are not well after your trap.
Light! Oh! May I have light enough?
What witchcraft
did you
practice? That he had left a dead man behind here.
Look, you. Here's the piece from which 'twas tearen. He doth present you this sad spectacle that now you know directly they are dead.
Antonio and my children.
Hereafter you may wisely cease to grieve for that which cannot be recovered.
There is not between heaven and earth one wish I stay for after this. It wastes me more than were my picture, fashioned out of wax, stuck with a magical needle, and then buried in some foul dunghill. And yon's an excellent property for a tyrant, which I would account most.
What's that?
If they would bind me to that lifeless trunk and let me freeze to death.
Come, you must live.
That's the greatest torture souls feel in hell. In hell, that they must live and cannot die. Portia, I'll new kindle thy coals again. And revive the rare and almost dead example of a loving wife.
Oh, fie, despair. Remember, you are a Christian.
The church enjoins fasting. I'll starve myself to death.
Leave this vain sorrow. Things being at the worst begin to mend. The bee, when he has shot his sting into your hand, may then play with your eyelids.
Good, comfortable fellow. Persuade a wretch that broke upon the wheel to have all his bones new set. Entreat him live to be executed again. Who must dispatch me?
Come, be of comfort. I will save your life.
Indeed, I have not leisure to tend so small a business.
No, by my life, I pity you.
Heart of fool, then, to waste thy pity on a thing so wretched as cannot pity itself. I am full of daggers. Pass that they blow these vipers from me.
Good madam.
What are you?
One that wishes you long life.
I would thou wert hanged for the horrible curse thou hast given me. I shall shortly grow one of the miracles of pity. I'll go pray. Now I'll go curse.
Oh, fie.
I could curse the stars.
Oh, fearful.
And those three smiling seasons of the year into a Russian winter. Nay, the world to its first shame.
Look, the stars shine still.
Oh, but you must remember my curse hath a great way to go. Plagues that make lanes through largest families consume them.
Fine, lady.
Let them, like tyrants, never be remembered but for the ill they have done. Let all the zealous prayers of mortified churchmen forget them.
Oh, uncharitable.
Let heaven a little while cease climbing martyrs to punish them. Go, howl them, Dennis. And dare I long to bleed. It is some mercy when men kill with speed.
Excellence, as I would wish, she's plagued in art. These presentations are but framed in wax by the curious master of that quality, Vincentio Loriola, and she takes them for true substantial bodies.
Why do you do this?
To bring her to despair.
Faith, end here, and go no further in your cruelty. Send her a penitential garment to put on next her delicate skin and furnish her with beads and prayer books.
Damn her! That body of hers, whilst that my blood ran pure in, was more worth than that which thou wouldst comfort call a soul. I will send her masks of common courtesans, have her meat served up by bawds and ruffians, and cause she'll needs be mad, I am resolved to remove forth the common hospital all the mad folk and place them near her lodging. There let them practice together, sing and dance and act their gambols to the full of the moon. If she can sleep the better for it, let her. Your work is almost ended.
Must I see her again?
Yes.
Never.
You must?
Never in mine own shape. That's forfeited by mine intelligence and this last cruel lie. When you send me next, the business shall be comfort.
Very likely. Thy pity is nothing of kin to thee. Antonio lurks about Milan. Thou shalt shortly thither to feed a fire as great as my revenge, which never will slack till it have spent its fuel. Intemperate agues make physicians cruel.
Sell my apothecary, Aunt Goldie, because I am a cockle. I have found out his roguery. He makes alum of his wife's urine and sells it to prisoners and gets sore throats with overstrain.
Give your question woodcock's head with the brains picked out on. You are a very ancient gentleman.
What hideous noise was that?
Just the wild consort of madman, lady, which your tyrant father has placed about your lodging. This tyranny, I think, was never practiced till this hour.
Indeed, I thank him. Nothing but noise and folly can keep me in my right wits, whereas reason and silence make me stark mad. Is this a prison?
Yes. But you shall live to shake this durance off.
Ah, the pool. The robin redbreast and the nightingale never live long in cages.
Pray dry your eyes. What think you of, madam?
Of nothing. When I'm used thus, I sleep.
Like a madman with your eyes open.
Dost thou think we shall know one another in the other world?
Yes. Out of question.
Oh, that it were possible we might but hold some 2 days' conference with the dead. From them I should learn somewhat I am sure I never shall know here. I'll tell thee a miracle. I am not mad yet. To my cause of sorrow. The heaven o'er my head seems made of molten brass, the earth of flaming sulphur. Yet I am not mad. I am acquainted with sad misery as the Pan galley slave is with his oar. Necessity makes me suffer constantly, and custom makes it easy. Who do I look like now?
Like to your picture in the gallery. A deal of life in show, but none in practice. Or rather, like some reverend monument whose ruins are even fitted.
Anna?
Madam, I have come to tell you your brother had intended you some sport. A great physician, when the Pope was sick of a deep melancholy, presented him with several sorts of madmen, which wild object, being full of change and sport, forced him to laugh. And so the imposthume broke. The selfsame cure the Duke intends on you.
Let them come in. Sit, Carriola. Let them loose when you please, for I am chained to endure all your tyranny.
Sounding as from the threatening
trumpet of peace and fate of mouth. Said all the world on
fire. Ever ravens screech out, wolves and bears wheel bell and ball apart. Till yet some noise hath cloyed your ears and corrosive your heart.
Headless, a mere glass house, where the devils are continually blowing up women's souls on hollow iron, and the fire never goes out.
To make possible to procure
sweet. May throw their caps at me. I have made a soap boiler costume. It was my masterpiece.
Is he mad, too?
Pray question him. I'll leave you.
I am come to make thy tomb.
My tomb. Thou speakst as if I lay upon my deathbed, gasping for breath. Dost thou perceive me sick?
Yes, and the more dangerously, since thy sickness is insensible.
Thou art not mad, sure. Dost know me?
Yes.
Who am I?
Thou art a box of worm seed. At best, but a salvatory of green mummy. What's this flesh? A little curded milk? Fantastical puff paste? Our bodies are weaker than those paper prisons boys use to keep flies in. More contemptible, since ours is to preserve earthworms. Didst thou ever see a lark in a cage? Such is the soul in the body. This world is like her little turf of grass, and the heaven o'er our head like her looking glass. Only gives us a miserable knowledge of the small compass of our prison.
Am not I thy duchess?
Thou art some great woman, sure, for riot begins to sit on thy forehead clad in grey hairs, 20 years sooner than on a merry milkmaid. Thou sleepest worse than if a mouse should be forced to take up her lodging in a cat's ear. A little infant that breeds its teeth, should it lie with thee, would cry out as if thou were the worst bedfellow.
I am Duchess of Malfi still.
That makes thy sleep so broken. Glories like glowworms afar off shine bright, but look too near have neither heat nor light.
Thou art very plain.
My trade is to flatter the dead, not the living. I am a tomb maker.
And thou comest to make my tomb?
Yes.
Let me be a little merry. Of what stuff wilt thou make it?
Nay, resolve me first with what fashion.
Why? Do we grow fantastical in our deathbed? Do we affect fashion in the grave?
Most ambitiously. Princes' images on their tombs do not lie as they were wont, seeming to pray up to heaven, but with their hands under their cheeks as if they died of the toothache. They are not carved with their eyes fixed upon the stars, but as their minds were wholly bent upon the world, the selfsame way they seem to turn their faces.
Let me know fully, therefore, the effect of this thy dismal preparation. This talk fit for a charnel.
Now I shall. Bring in the coffin, cords and bell. Here is a present from your princely brother, and may it arrive welcome, for it brings last benefit, last sorrow.
Let me see it. I have so much obedience in my blood. I wish it in their veins to do them good.
This is your last present chamber.
Oh, my sweet lady.
It affrights not me.
I am the common bellman that usually is sent to condemned persons the night before they suffer.
Even now thou saidst thou wast a tomb maker.
That was to bring you by degrees to mortification. Listen. Hark. Now everything is still. The screech owl and the whistler shrill call upon our dame aloud and bid her quickly don her shroud. Much you had of land and rent, your length in clays now competent. A long war disturbed your mind. Here your perfect peace is signed. Of what is't fools make such vain keeping? Sin, their conception, their birth, weeping, their life, a general mist of error. Their death, a hideous storm of terror. Strew your hair with powders sweet. Don clean linen. Bathe your feet. And the foul fiend more to check. A crucifix let bless your neck. 'Tis now full tide between night and day. End your groan and come away.
To our next neighbors, they are mad.
Remove that noise.
Farewell, Cariola. In my last will, I have not much to give. Our many hungry guests have fed upon me. Thine will be a poor liberty.
I will die with her.
I pray thee. Look, thou givest my little boy some syrup for his cold. And let the girl say her prayers ere she sleeps. Now, what you please. What death?
Strangling. Here are your executioners.
I forgive them. The apoplexy, catarrh, or cough of the lungs would do as much as they do.
Does not death fright you?
Who would be afraid on knowing to meet such excellent company in the other world?
Yet methinks the manner of your death should much afflict you. This cord should terrify you.
Not a whit. What would it pleasure me to have my throat cut with diamonds? Or to be smothered with cassia, or to be shot to death with pearls. I know death hath 10,000 several doors for men to take their exit. And 'tis found they go on such strange geometrical hinges, you may open them both ways. Anyway, by heaven's sake, so I were out of your way. Tell my brothers, that I perceive death, now I am well awake. Best gift is they can give or I can take. I would fain put off my last woman's port. I'd not be tedious to you.
We're ready.
Dispose my breath how please you. But my body bestow upon my women, will you?
Yes, we will.
Pull. And pull strongly. For your able strength must pull down heaven upon you. Yet stay. Heaven gates are not so highly arched as princes' palaces. They that enter there must go upon their knees. Come, violent death. Serve for Mandragora to make me sleep. Go tell my brothers when I am laid out. They then may feed in quiet.
Where's the waiting woman? Fetch her. Some other go strangle the children.
No!
Look you there, sweet your mistress.
Oh, you are damned perpetually for this. My turn is next. It's not so modern.
Yes, and I'm glad you're so well prepared.
You are deceived, sir. I am not prepared for it. I will not die. How has that come to my answer? Know how I have offended
you. Come, dispatch her. You kept her counsel. Now you shall keep ours.
I will not die. I am contracted to a young gentleman.
Here's your wedding ring.
The secret that you can't discover pleading to his person.
Delay. Drop her.
She bites and scratches.
Please don't kill me now. I am dead. I have not been on confession. Leave to me.
When?
I am quick with
five. Why then your credit saved.
these lies tell. Here begin your pity. Gaze on this sight. Alas, how have these children offended?
The death of young wolves is never to be pitied.
Fix your eye here.
Constantly.
Do you not weep? Other sins only speak. Murder shrieks out. The element of water moistens the earth, but blood flies upwards and pursues the heavens.
Cover her face. Mine eyes dazzle. She died young.
I think not so. Her infelicities seem to have years too many.
She and I were twins. And should I die this instant, I had lived her time to a minute.
It seems she was born first. You have bloodily approved the ancient truth that kindred commonly do worse agree than remote strangers.
Let me see her face again. Why didst thou not pity her? What an excellent, honest man mightst thou have been if thou hadst born her to some sanctuary. Or bold in a good cause, oppose thyself with thy advanced sword above thy head between her innocence and my revenge. I bade thee when I was distracted of my wits go kill my dearest friend, and thou hast done it. For let me but examine well the cause. What was the meanness of her match to me? Only I must confess, I had a hope, had she continued widow, to have gained an infinite mass of treasure by her death. And what was the main cause? Her marriage. That drew a stream of gall quite through my heart. For thee, as we observe in tragedies that a good actor many times is cursed for playing a villain's part, I hate thee for it, and for my sake say thou hast done much ill will.
Let me quicken your memory, for I perceive you are falling into ingratitude. I challenge the reward due to my service.
I'll tell thee what I'll give thee.
Do.
I'll give thee a pardon for this murder.
Huh?
Yes, and 'tis the largest bounty I can study to do thee. By what authority didst thou execute this bloody sentence?
By yours.
Mine! Was I her judge? Did any ceremonial form of law doom her to not being? Did a complete jury deliver her conviction up in the court? Where shalt thou find this judgment registered unless in hell? See, like a bloody fool, thou hast forfeited thy life, and thou shalt die for it.
The offices of justice are perverted quite when one thief hangs another. Who shall dare to reveal?
Oh, I'll tell thee. The wolf shall find her grave and scrape it up, not to devour the corpse, but to discover the horrid murder.
You, not I, shall quake for it.
Leave me!
I will first receive my pension.
You're a villain!
When your ingratitude is judged, I am so.
Oh, horror! But not the fear of him which binds the devils can prescribe man obedience. Never look upon me more!
Why? Fare you well. Your brother and yourself are worthy men. You have a pair of hearts, a hollow grave, rotten and rotting others. Your vengeance, like two chained bullets, still goes arm in arm. You may be brothers, but treason, like the plague, doth take much in a blood. I stand like one that long hath ta'en a sweet and golden dream. I'm angry with myself now that I wake.
Get to this one unknown part of the world! I may never see thee.
Let me know wherefore I should be thus neglected. Sir, I served your tyranny and rather strove to satisfy yourself than all the world. And though I loathed the evil, yet I loved you that did counsel it, and rather sought to appear a true servant than an honest man.
I'll go hunt the badger by our life. Is a deed of darkness.
He's much distracted. Half my painted honor. Why, with vain hopes our faculties retire, we seem to sweat in ice and freeze in fire. What would I do, were this to do again? I would not exchange my peace of conscience for all the wealth of Europe. His turn. His life. Return, fair soul, from darkness, and lead mine out of this sensible hell. She's warm. She breathes. Upon my pale lips, I will melt my heart to store them with fresh color. Who's there? Some cordials. Alas, I dare not call. So pity would destroy pity. But I oped, and heaven in it seemed to ope that late was shut to take me up to mercy.
And then?
Yes, madam. He is living. The dead bodies you saw were but fainted statues. He is reconciled to your brother. The Pope hath wrought the atonement. She's gone again. There the cords of life broke. Oh, sacred innocence that sweetly sleeps on turtle's feathers. Whilst a guilty conscience is a black register wherein is writ all our good deeds and bad, a perspective that shows us hell, that we cannot be suffered to do good when we have a mind to it. This is manly sorrow. These tears, I'm very certain, never grew in my mother's milk. My estate is shrunk below the degree of fortune. Where were these penitent fountains when she was living? Oh, they were frozen up. Here's a sight as direful to my soul as is the sword unto a wretch that hath slain his father. Come. I'll bear thee hence. And execute thy last will. Let's deliver thy body to the reverend dispose of some good women. That the cruel tyrant shall not deny me. Then I'll post to Melon, where somewhat I will speedily enact worth my dejection.
Think you, Delio, of my hope of reconcilement to the Aragonian brethren?
I misdoubt it, for though they have sent their letters of safe conduct for your repair to Milan, they appear but nets to entrap you.
This night I mean to venture all my fortune to the cardinal's worst of malice. I have got private access to his chamber, and intend to visit him about the mid of night, as once his brother did our noble duchess. It may be that the sudden apprehension of danger, while I go in mine own shape, when he shall see it, thought with love and duty may draw the poison out of him and work a friendly reconcilement. If it fail, yet it shall rid me of this infamous calling. For better fall once than be ever falling.
I'll second you in all danger, and howe'er my life keeps rank with yours,
you are still my loved and best friend.
Now, Doctor, may I visit your patient? The Lord Ferdinand, if please, your lordship, but he's instantly to take the air here in the gallery by my direction.
Prithee, what's his disease?
Oh, a very pestilent disease, my lord. They call lycanthropia.
What's that? I need a dictionary to it.
I'll tell you. In those that are possessed with it, there o'erflows such melancholy humor they imagine themselves to be transformed into wolves. Steal forth to churchyard in the dead of night and dig dead bodies up. As 2 nights since, one met the Duke about midnight in a lane behind St. Mark's Church with a leg of a man upon his shoulder. And he howled fearfully. Said he was a wolf. Only the difference was a wolf's skin was hairy on the outside, his on the inside. Bade them take their sword, rip up his flesh, and try. Straight. I was sent for, and having ministered to him, found his grace very well recovered.
I am glad, aunt.
Yet not without some fear of a relapse. Stand aside. He comes.
Leave me.
Why the
does your lordship love this solitariness?
Eagles commonly fly alone. They are crows and starlings that flock together. Look, what's that follows me?
Nothing, my lord.
Yes.
Tis your shadow.
Tis. Let it not haunt me.
Impossible if you move and the sun shines.
I will fuddle it.
Oh, my lord, you are angry with nothing.
You are a fool. How is it possible I should capture my shadow and if I fall upon? When I go to hell, I mean to carry a bride. For look, you good gifts evermore make way for the worst person.
Bride, good, my lord.
I'm studying the art of patience.
Tis a noble virtue.
To drive 6 snails before me from this town to Moscow. Neither use gold nor witticism, but let them take their own time. The patientest man in the world match me for an experiment, and I'll crawl after him like a sheep bite.
Force him up. You say well. Do this. What I have done, I have done. I'll confess nothing.
Now let me come to him. Are you mad, my lord? Are you out of your princely wits?
What is
your doctor?
Let it be a sword out in his eyebrows, I'll walk you there.
I must do mad tricks with it, for that's the only way on. I have brought your grace a salamander skin to keep you from sunburning.
I have cruel sore eyes.
Oh, the white of a cockatrix's egg is present remedy.
Let it be a new laid one. You are best. Hide me from him.
Now he begins to fear me. Now let me alone with him.
Now put off your gown.
Let me have some port to your rhinos filled with rose water. He and I'll go pelt one another with them. Now he begins to fear me. Can you fetch a frisk, sir? No, let him go upon my peril. I find by his eye he stands in awe of me. I'll make him a famous adorer.
Can you fetch yourself? Stop!
Oh!
I'll stamp him into a color.
Oh!
Flay off his skin. Oh! Color. One of the anathemas this rogue has set to the cold yonder in barber, surgeon, or...
Oh!
Hands! You are all of you like beasts for sacrifice. There is nothing left of you but tongue and belly, flattery and lechery. Hands!
Doctor, we did not fear you truly.
True. I was somewhat too forward.
This upon me, what a fatal judgment hath fallen upon me, Ferdinand.
And there's your grace what accident hath brought unto the prince this strange distraction.
I must fail somewhat, sir. Thus they say grew. You have heard it rumored for these many years. None of our family dies, but there is seen the shape of an old woman which is given by tradition to us to have been murdered by her nephews for her riches. Such a figure one night, as the prince set up late at book, appeared to him when, crying out for help, the gentleman of chamber found his grace all on a cold sweat, altered much in face and language. Since which apparition he hath grown worse and worse, and I much fear he cannot live.
My lord cardinal, Rosalind would speak with you.
I will leave your grace, wishing to the sick prince, our noble lord, all health of mind and body.
He is most welcome.
My lord.
This Ursula must not know by any means I had intelligence in our Duchess's death. For though I counseled it, the full of all the engagement seemed to grow from Ferdinand.
My Lord Cardinal.
Now, sir, how fair our sister. I do not think but sorrow makes her look like to an oft-dyed garment. She shall now take comfort from me. Why do you look so wildly? Oh, the fortune of your master here, the prince, dejects you. But be you of happy comfort. If you do one thing for me, I'll entreat. Though he has a cold tombstone or his bones, I'll make you what you would be.
Anything. Give it me in a breath. Let me fly to it. They that think long, small expedition wins. For musing much at the end cannot begin.
Tis thus. Antonio lurks here in Milan. Inquire him out and kill him. While he lives, our sister cannot marry. And I have thought of an excellent match for her. Do this, and style me thy advancement.
Well, I'm not pleased with it, Miss. I would see that wretched thing, Antonio, above all sights of the world.
Oh, and be happy.
This fellow doth breed basilisks in his eyes. He's nothing else but murder. Yet he seems not to have notice of the Duchess' death. This is cunning. I must follow his example. There can be no surer way to trace than that of an old fox.
Oh, sir, you are well met.
Hello?
Nay, the doors are fast enough. Now, sir, I will make you confess your treachery.
Treachery?
Yes. Confess to me which of my women twas you hired to put love powder into my drink.
Love powder?
Yes, when I was at Malfi. Why should I fall in love with such a face else? Oh, I have already suffered for thee so much pain. The only remedy to do me good is to kill my longing.
Excellent lady. You have a pretty way on to discover your longing. Come. Come, I'll disarm you and arm you with that. Yet this is wondrous strange.
Now you say I am wanton. This nice modesty in ladies is but a troublesome familiar that haunts them.
No, you me. I'm a blunt soldier.
The better. Sure, the one fire, where there are no lively sparks of roughness.
And I want compliment.
Oh, why, ignorance in courtship cannot make you do amiss if you have a heart to do well.
I have it. I will work upon this creature. Let us grow most amorously familiar. If the great cardinal should now see me thus, would he not count me a villain?
No. You might count me a wanton, not lay a scruple of offense on you. But if I see instead of a diamond, the forge is not in the stone, but in me, the thief that prolongs it. I am stubborn with you. We, the great women of pleasure, used to cut off these uncertain wishes and unquiet longings, and in an instant join the sweet delight and the pretty excuse together. Oh, had you been in the street under my chamber window, even there, I should have caught it, you. Bid me do so much for you presently to express I love you.
I will. And if you love me, say not to affect it. The cardinal is grown wondrous melancholy. Demand the cause. Let him not put you off with feigned excuse. Discover the main ground.
Why would you know this?
I have depended on him. I hear that he's fallen in some disgrace with the Emperor. If he be like the mice that forsake falling houses, I would shift to other dependents.
Oh, you shall not need follow the war. I'll be your maintenance.
And I, your loyal servant. But I cannot leave my calling.
Oh, not leave an ungrateful general for the love of a sweet lady. You are like some cannot sleep in feather beds, but must have blocks for their pillows.
Will you do this?
Cunning.
Tomorrow I'll expect the intelligence.
Tomorrow? Now. Get you into my cabinet here. You shall have it with you. Do not delay me no more than I do you. I am like one that is condemned. I have my pardon promised, but I would see it sealed. Go, my cabinet, get you in. You shall see me wind my tongue about his heart like a skein of silk. Oh, get you in.
Let none upon your life have conference with Prince Ferdinand, unless I know it. In this distraction he may reveal the murder.
My dear Lord Cardinal, so long away.
Oh, yon's my lingering consumption. I'm weary of her. And by any means would be quit of.
How now, my lord? What ails you?
Nothing.
Oh, you are much altered. Come, I must be your secretary and remove this lead from off your bosom. What's the matter?
I may not tell you.
Are you so far in love with sorrow you cannot part with part of it? Or think you I cannot love your grace when you are sad as well as merry? Or do you suspect I that have been a secret to your heart these many winters cannot be the same unto your tongue?
Satisfy thy longing. The only way to make thee keep my counsel is not to tell thee.
Tell your echo this. Or flatterers that like echoes still report what they hear, though most imperfect, and not me.
Will you rack me?
No. Judgment shall draw it from you. It is an equal fault to tell one's secrets unto all or none.
The first argues folly.
But the last, tyranny.
Very well. Why, imagine I have committed some secret deed which I desire the world may never hear of.
Therefore may not I know it? You have concealed from me as great a sin as adultery. There never was occasion for perfect trial of my constancy till now. Sir, I beseech you.
You'll repent it.
Never.
It hurries thee to ruin. I'll not tell thee. Be well advised, and think what danger it is to receive a princess' secrets. They that do had need have their breasts hooped with adamant to contain them. I pray thee yet be satisfied. Examine thine own frailty. It is more easy to tie knots than unloose them. It is a secret that like a lingering poison may chance lie spread in thy veins and kill thee 7 years hence.
Now you dally with me.
No more. Thou shalt know it. By my appointment, the great Duchess of Malfi and 2 of her young children 4 nights since were strangled.
Heaven! Sir, what have you done?
How now? How settles this? Think you your bosom will be a grave, dark, and obscure enough for such a secret?
You have undone yourself, sir.
Why?
It lies not in me to conceal it.
No. Come, I'll swear you to it upon this book.
Oh, most religiously.
Kiss it.
I swear I...
Come, kiss the book. Now you shall never utter. Thy curiosity hath undone thee. Thou art poisoned with that book because I knew thou couldst not keep my counsel. I have bound it with thy death.
I forgive you this equal piece of justice you have done. Oh, I betrayed your counsel to that fellow. He heard it. That was the cause I said it lay not in me to conceal it.
The foolish woman, could not you have poisoned him?
We live too much to consider what should have been done. I go. I know not whither.
Comest thou hither?
That I might find a great man like yourself, not out of his wits, as the Lord Ferdinand, to remember my service.
I'll have thee hewed in pieces.
Make not yourself such a promise of that life which is not yours to dispose of.
Who placed thee here?
Her lust, as she intended.
Very well. Now you know me for your fellow murderer.
And wherefore should you lay fair marble colors upon your rotten purposes to me? Unless you imitate some that do plot great treasons, and when they have done, go hide themselves at the graves of those that were actors in.
No more. There is a fortune attends thee.
Shall I go suit a fortune any longer? 'Tis the fool's pilgrim.
I have honors in store for thee.
There are many ways that conduct a seeming honor, and some of them very dirty.
Oh, throw to the devil thy melancholy. The fire burns well. What need we keep a stirring of it and make a greater smother? Thou wilt kill Antonio.
Yes.
Take up that body.
I think I shall shortly grow the common beer for churchyards.
I will allow thee some dozen of attendants to aid thee in the murder.
Oh, by no means. Physicians that apply leeches to any rank swelling use to cut off their tails that the blood may run through them the faster. Let me have no train when I go to shed blood. Lest it make me have a greater when I rise to the gallows.
Come to me after midnight to help to remove that body to her own lodging. I'll give out she died of the plague. 'Twill breed the less inquiry after her death.
Where's Castruccio, her husband?
He rode to Naples to take possession of Antonio's citadel.
Believe me, you've done a very happy turn.
Fail not to come. There is the master key of our lodgings, and by that you may conceive what trust I plant in you.
You shall find me ready.
Oh, poor Antonio. Though nothing be so needful to thy estate as pity, yet I find nothing so dangerous. I must look to my footing. In such slippery ice pavements, men have need to be frost-nailed well. They may break their necks else. Well, good Antonio, I'll seek thee out. And all my care shall be to put thee into safety from the reach of those most cruel biters that have got some of thy blood already. It may be I'll join with thee in a most just revenge. The weakest arm is strong enough that strikes with a sword of justice. Still, methinks the Duchess haunts me. Oh, there, there. 'Tis nothing but my melancholy. Oh, penitence. Let me truly taste thy cup that throws men down only to raise them up.
Yon's the cardinal's window. This fortification grew from the ruins of an ancient abbey, and to yon side of the river lies a wall gives the best echo that you ever heard, so hollow and so dismal and withal so plain in the distinction of our words that many have supposed it is a spirit that answers.
I do love these ancient ruins. We never tread upon them, but we set our foot upon some reverend history. And question this, here in this open court which now lies naked to the injuries of stormy weather, some men lie interred, loved the church so well, and gave so largely to it, they thought it should have canopied their bones till doomsday. But all things have their end. Churches and cities, which have diseases like to men, must have like death that we have.
Now the echo hath caught you.
It groaned, methought, and gave a very deadly accent.
I told you 'twas a pretty one. You may make it a huntsman, or a falconer, a musician, or a thing of sorrow.
A thing of sorrow.
Aye, sure, that suits it best.
That suits it best.
'Tis very like my wife's voice.
My wife's voice.
Nay, let us talk no further on't. I would not have you go to the cardinal's tonight. Do not. Wisdom doth not more moderate wasting sorrow than time. Take time for't. Be mindful of thy safety.
Necessity compels me. Make scrutiny throughout the passages of your own life. You'll find it impossible to fly your fate.
Oh, fly not.
Hark, the dead stones seem to have pity on you and give you good counsel.
Echo, I will not talk with thee, for thou art a dead thing.
Thou art a dead thing.
My Duchess is asleep now, and her little ones, I hope, sweetly. Oh, heaven, shall I never see her more?
I mark not one repetition of the echo but that. And on the sudden, a clear light presented me a face folded in sorrow.
Your fancy merely. Come, I'll be out of this ague. For to live thus is not indeed to live. It is a mockery and abuse of life. I will not henceforth save myself by halves. Lose all or nothing.
Your own virtue save you. I'll fetch your eldest son and second you. It may be that the sight of his own blood spread in so sweet a figure may beget the more compassion. However, fare you well. Though in our miseries fortune have a part, yet in our noble sufferings she hath none. Contempt of pain, that we may call our own.
You shall not watch tonight by the sick prince. His grace is very well recovered.
Good, my lord. Suffer us.
Oh, by no means. The noise and change of objects in his eye doth more distract him. I pray all to bed. And though you hear him in his violent fit, do not rise, I entreat you.
So, sir, we shall not.
Nay, I must have your promise upon your honors, for I have enjoined to it himself. And he seemed to urge it sensibly.
Let our honors bind this trifle.
Nor any of your followers?
Neither.
It may be to make trial of your promise when he's asleep. Myself will rise and feign some of his mad tricks and cry out for help and feign myself in danger.
If your throat were cutting, I'd not come at you. Now I have protested against
you. Why, I thank you.
For the foul's gone tonight.
The Lord Ferdinand's chambers shook like an osier.
There's nothing but pure kindness in the devil to rob his own child.
The reason why I would not suffer these about my brother is because at midnight I may, with better privacy, convey Julia's body to her own lodging. Oh, my conscience. I would pray now. But the devil takes away my heart for having any confidence in prayer. About this hour, I appointed Borsala to fetch the body. When he hath served my turn, he died.
Huh? To the cardinal voice. My very name, Borsala, and my death. Isn't I here one's footing?
Strangling. It's a very quiet day.
Then I see I must stand upon my guard.
What do you say to that? Whisper softly. You agree to it. So, it must be done in the dark. The cardinal would not for £1,000 the doctor should see.
My death is body. Here is the consequence of murder. We value not desert, nor Christian breath, when we know black deeds must be cured with death.
Here, stay, sir, and be confident, I pray. I'll fetch you a dark lantern.
Could I take him at his prayers, there were hope of pardon.
Fall right, my sword! Oh. I'll not give thee so much leisure as to pray.
I am gone. Thou hast ended a long suit in a minute.
What order?
A most wretched thing, that only have thy benefit in death to appear my soul.
Where are you, sir?
Very near my home.
Oh, misfortune.
Mother, I pity thou dead elf, Antonio, the man I would have saved but mine own life. Oh, we are merely the stars, tennis balls, stuck and banded which way pleased them.
Oh, good Antonio, I'll whisper one thing in thy dying ear shall make thy heart break quickly. Thy fair duchess and two sweet children.
Their very names kindle a little life in me.
Are murdered.
Some men have wished to die at the hearing of sad things. I am glad that I shall do it in sadness. I would not now wish my wounds balmed nor healed, for I have no use to put my life to. In all our quest of greatness, like wanton boys whose pastime is their care, we follow after bubbles blown in the air. Pleasure of life, what is? With the good hours of an ague, merely a preparative to rest to endure vexation. I do not ask the process of my death. Only commend me to Delia.
Break heart.
And let my son fly.
Thou seems to have loved Antonio.
I brought him hither to have reconciled him to the cardinal.
I do not ask thee that. Take him up if thou tender thine own life and bear him where the Lady Julia was wont to lodge.
I shall, my lord.
Oh, my fate moves swift. I have this cardinal in the forge already. Now I'll bring him to the hammer.
Puzzled in a question about hell. He says in hell there's one material fire, and yet it shall not burn all men alike. Lay him by. Oh, how tedious is a guilty conscience. When I look into the fish ponds in my garden, methinks I see a thing armed with a rake that seems to strike at me.
Hula!
Both.
Now art thou come. Thou look'st ghastly. There sits in thy face some great determination mixed with some fear.
Thus it lightens into action. I am come to kill thee.
Hula! Hey! Our God!
Started me there out of thy howling.
Hold! Hold! And I will faithfully divide revenues with thee.
Thy prayers and proffers are both unseasonable.
Praise the rock we are betrayed!
I confined your flight. I'll suffer your retreat to Julia's chamber, but no further.
Hey! We are betrayed! Hey! We are betrayed!
Listen, what now?
My youth will forget you!
Oh, fire upon his counterfeiting.
Why, it is not the cardinal.
Yes, yes, it is he. I'll see him hanged ere I go down to him.
There's a black upon me! I am a perfect! I am not! I am
you! He does this pretty well, but it will not serve to laugh me out of mine honor.
Ah!
You would not bawl so loud then.
Oh, come, come, let's go to sleep. He told us thus much beforehand.
He wished you should not come at him, but believe, the accent of the voice sounds not in jest. I'll down to him, howsoever, and with engines force open the doors.
Let's follow him aloof, and note how the cardinal will laugh at him.
What cause hast thou to pursue my life?
Look there.
I told you.
Slain by my hand unwittingly. Pray and be sudden. When thou killedst thy sister, thou tookst from justice her most equal balance and left her naught but us.
Oh, murder!
Now it seems thy greatness is only outward, for thou fallest faster of thyself than calamity can drive thee. I'll waste no longer time. Thou!
Oh,
again!
Shall I die like a leveret without any resistance? Help! 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 I'm fled!
You alarm! Give me a fresh horse! Rally the false guard, or the day is lost! Yield! Yield! I will give you the honor of arms! Shake my sword over you! Will you yield?
Help me!
I am your brother!
Devil! My brother! Fight upon the adverse party! There flies your ransom! I suffer now. For what have all of them. Sorrow is held. The eldest child of sin.
Ah! I am hurt.
Now, you're brave fellows. Caesar's fortune was harder than Pompey's. Caesar died in the arms of prosperity. Pompey at the feet of disgrace. You both died in the field. The pain's nothing. Pain many times is taken away with the apprehension of greater. As the toothache with the sight of the barber that comes to pull it out. There's the loss of his own.
Now my revenge is perfect. Think how main cause of my undoing, the last part of my life, have done me best service.
Give me some wet hay. I'm broken winded. I do account this world what a dog came of. I will vault credit and affect high pleasures beyond death. My sister, oh my sister. There's the cause of it. Whether we fall by ambition, blood, or lust, like diamonds we are cut with our own.
Thou hast thy payment.
Yes. I hold my weary soul in my teeth. It is ready to part from me. I do glory that thou, which stoodst like a huge pyramid, begun upon a large and ample base, shalt end in a little point, a kind of nothing.
How now, my lord?
Oh, sad
what comes this?
Revenge for the Duchess of Malfi, murdered by the Aragonian brethren. For Antonio slain by this hand, for lustful Julia poisoned by this man. And lastly, for myself, that was an actor in the main of all, much against mine own good nature. Yet to the end, neglected.
How now, my lord?
Look to my brother. He gave us these large wounds as we were struggling here in the roughies. And now, I pray, let me be laid by. And never thought.
How fatally, it seems, he did withstand his own rescue.
Thou wretched thing of blood, how came Antonio by his death?
In a mist. I know not how. Such a mistake as I've often seen in a play. I'm gone. We're only like dead walls, or vaulted graves that ruin yield no echo. Very well. It may be pain, but no harm to me to die in so good a quarrel. Oh, this gloomy world. In what a shadow or deep pit of darkness doth womanish and fearful mankind live. Let worthy minds ne'er stagger in distrust to suffer death or shame for what is just. Mine is another voyage.
The noble Delio, as I came to the palace, told me of Antonio's being here and showed me a pretty gentleman, his son and heir. Look you, they come.
Oh, sir, you come too late.
I heard so and was armed for it ere I came. Let us make noble use of this great ruin and join all our force to establish this young, hopeful gentleman in his mother's right. These wretched, eminent things leave no more fame behind them than should one fall in a frost and leave his print in snow. As soon as the sun shines, it ever melts both form and matter. I have ever thought, nature doth nothing so great for great men as when she's pleased to make them lords of truth. Integrity of life is fame's best friend, which nobly, beyond death, shall crown the end.